Well, the big headline news for Donald Trump is the departure of Chief Strategist Steve Bannon from the White House. Members of the President's Committee on the Arts and Humanities, they've all resigned. Now, that's not to stand with Steve Bannon, more because they're just, unfortunately, sick to death of Mr. Trump's presidency. So all 17 members wrote a collective letter of resignation pointing out all of Mr. Trump's mistakes and presidential acts that they disagreed with. And to talk about this, as always, we have the US president himself, Donald Trump, on the line. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. President.
See you later, artsy hippies. I'm going to put a new artist committee together with the best artist I know.
Oh, who's that?
The lady who spray paints my tan. She is amazing. She's also learned how to stop herself from vomiting when she sees me naked.
Wow.
But on a serious note, Mr. Trump, I mean, you keep losing people of position. I mean, on a regular basis, the entire arts committee quit. You've gone through two speakers of the House. You fired the head of the FBI and now your chief strategist. I mean, what is happening over there?
Yeah, okay. Look, we changed our hiring policy and made sure the new people have something the others didn't.
What's that?
A short lease on their rentals. Like I'm saying, just get a hotel that rents by the hour. I know a few and the staff are very accommodating and very secretive.
But Mr. Trump, you have to admit, things are not going great. People are even missing your predecessor. I mean, it seems Barack Obama's popularity is sky high at the moment.
Please, what do you mean? There's nothing that guy can do to top me. I'm so much better than him. It is frightening.
Well, not really. Did you see a tweet of his last week? I mean, it's now the most retweeted tweet in history.
So, I don't care. I mean, he could have bought those retweets. I know there's a company in India that would do it, and they'll give you a discount if you send them photos of your wife naked.
But, Mr. Trump, it also appears he has three times the amount of followers on Twitter as you do. Hello?
You all right?
Mr. President?
Is he there?
Oh, God, I think I'm going to vomit. Oh, this is what my spray tanner feels like. I hope I don't start crying and try to poke my eyes out with hot pokers. Okay, this is killing me.
Thank you. That's the President of the United States. What about Isla Fox? Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
What a morning we had on Friday. We got on a bus. We drove out to Sunbury and we gave Erica and her husband, Brian, $50,000.
Oh, this was amazing.
Pulling into their driveway right now. I can see a cat. It's a cat in the window.
We are about to reveal.
$50,000.
$50,000.
Erin, congratulations! You won $50,000! We came for you!
Oh, my God.
$50,000!
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Erin, is your husband Brian around?
He's not. He's
gone
to work.
He's gone to work.
Look at this.
Jeez, it started off rocky.
Yeah, I fell off the bus, Dave.
Yeah, and you just spotting cats?
Yeah, Faith didn't do a lot to help the situation. I also got my eye taken out by a glitter cannon. So, there was a lot going on out there.
I had a pure blonde out of the guy's fridge. Gave him $50,000. I thought I'd take a beer.
Looks like everyone wins.
I had a few people come up to me on the weekend and actually say that their favourite part was you going to Brian's fridge and getting out a beer.
Yeah, it was stock too.
It was 8 a.m.
That was beautiful. It's going to be 12 o'clock somewhere.
But it was, Dave, you weren't there. Another highlight. Not only, obviously, the look on Erica's face and being in her house and then neighbours coming out. Another highlight was because her dream was to go over to the UK. She was born there, to go back to the UK and take her husband.
That's nice.
We decided when we were going, let's make it UK themed. So, of course, we had Byron dressed up as the Beefeater.
I saw that, mate.
I didn't ask for it. I've become the costume guy.
Hey, this isn't even radio anymore. Just have some respect for yourself.
And now he's got an ambassadorship with him.
I'm now an ambassador for Court Jester Fancy Dress.
Oh, I thought he said for the Beefeaters in the UK. I was like, nah, no, take it down a level.
So that was going on, not by
and
my
then
choice.
The other highlight was we had the Spicy Girls. They came to perform.
Huh?
The Spicy Girls.
What do you mean? Was it an Indian restaurant?
We only had, Sporty Spice couldn't be there, but we had Ginger, we had Baby, we had Scary.
Was she out dating a tribute performer to David Beckham?
And they were absolutely fabulous. You missed it, so have a listen.
If you want to be my lover,
you got to get with my friends. Make it last forever, friendship never ends.
If you wanna be my lover, you have got to give. Taking is too easy, but that's the way it is.
Yes.
As you could hear, Dave, I took over Sporty Spice's part.
Was that before or after the blonde?
That was before the blonde.
Really? Do you guys know any chisel?
Let's go. It was a big morning. I mean, look, they were fantastic. I mean, tribute acts, I think, sometimes get a bad rap, Fief. But, I mean, a good tribute act, I don't think it doesn't get much better. It's
I
so fun.
I love a tribute act. Mm. And that's why I thought, even there, I thought, we don't even need the real Spice Girls. The Spicy Girls are as good. And, you know, I don't think often enough we celebrate.
What are you laughing at, Byron?
Tribute acts. Oh, come on. Mel B, she's struggling at the moment. You know, we had our scary Spice there. It was just as good.
She was great. She was fantastic. I mean, 13, 10, 60, if you've seen another great tribute act, or in fact, yeah? I mean, we could aim really high, guys, if you're in a tribute act and you just want to give them a push.
Louis, who's a great Robbie Williams impersonator. He was at my wedding, played Angels and said, "I'm loving Alex," and said, amazing.
We changed the lyrics, that's good.
But then we had him at the Melton South mid-season ball when I got up on stage and I split my pants. Remember that? Yeah, he's amazing.
If you're in a tribute actor, you've seen a great one.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
What about on Friday, of course, the big surprise for Erica in Sunbury. $50,000. She wanted to go to the UK with the $50,000 that we gave her. So we gave the whole surprise a bit of a UK theme.
We did. We had the Spicy Girls there, Bar Sporty Spice, and they were performing. It was great. Sunbury came to life. Loving it. And we just took a moment to go, how good is a tribute band? Mm. Like they were the highlight for me. I love the Spicy Girls.
Not giving the 50K away?
No, that was obviously.
Yeah, sure. My highlight was when Boxy fell out of the bus.
That was unfortunate.
Sorry, but we were so super keen. We were standing
what
there at
happened?
The door.
Was that your tribute to Oasis? Were you just drunk?
The bus just pulled up.
Pulled up.
And as he hit the brakes, and Mark was a brilliant driver, as he hit the brakes, I just flew out of the bus. I didn't expect that.
Wow.
But paying tribute to tribute bands, Chris from Wheeler's Hill, hi.
Hello, good morning.
Chris, do you have a favourite tribute band in Melbourne?
Yeah, I've seen quite a few times a band called In Excessive out of the Wheeler's Hill pub.
Oh,
I would love them. I don't even know if I've seen them.
And who are they trying to...
Hey. Is the Michael very Michael?
Yeah, I've had a few drinks with him on the side, like around the bar, and they still call him Hutchie when he's not up on the stage.
That's strange, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're all weird.
Is he more Michael than JD Fortune?
Yes, well, I was about to say, I remember watching on Foxtel that In Excess show. That was a brilliant show.
Were they replacing Michael?
Yeah, JD Fortune. Yeah. He was brilliant. He's got a great voice.
He went missing in Hong Kong.
Didn't last, really,
it was unusual.
Did he?
He was a strange party boy.
He's okay. He's alive and well, but for a while there, he went AWOL in Hong Kong.
What's he doing? Working at Subway?
He thought he was on The Hangover 2. Just went missing in Hong Kong.
724 on the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I heard a really distressing story yesterday that I wanted to share because it happened in our city. It happened here in Melbourne, and I think it sheds a really bad light on things that are happening with our kids, and we often talk about bullying. Well, I'm going to tell you what happened on the weekend. A very dear family friend of ours, she lives alone, and she's, her kids have all left home. She's on her own, feeling quite isolated, and she woke up a few days ago to find her house had been graffitied and her fence and her driveway with swear words, F this, F that. And she got a bit of a shock, you know, what's this? And threatening, very threatening. And then somebody had broken into her property and turned her gas off, so she had no heating.
What?
I know, so this was quite scary. And then anyway, through going to the police and then neighbours have gotten involved and shared what they think's happened. What they think has happened is it's a case of mistaken identity. Oh. So there's a kid who is being bullied at a school, at high school. And he dobbed on or reported the bullying to the principal. This is what these kids are doing to me. And those kids were suspended. And this was supposed to be their retaliation. Mm. But they thought that kid lived where my family friend did.
Gee, well, the suspension worked, didn't it? Didn't teach them any lessons.
Was it the kids or the parents
did it? Well, that's the thing, Fev. I'm not sure. Wow. I think there's a suspicion it's the kids. But what, honestly, it's so terrifying and terrible to think this poor kid, he's been bullied, he's gone and reported it, which he should do. This is what these people are making my life a living hell. Not only do they get suspended, they then go, guess what? We're going to make your life worse, mate. Like, I don't.
Yeah, brutal.
In this day and age.
That's what I mean. So where are these kids' parents? Who's teaching them that that's okay to intimidate somebody to the point where you're terrifying? You're breaking into their property, their parents' property, and turning their gas off because that was the intention. And I just think we do talk about bullying a lot. And I think it's great that in the past 5 years or so, it's really become a conversation that we're all having, because I think we teach our kids different things. We don't like dobbing, but then we need our kids to report. We need our kids to stand up and speak and let authorities and people, you know, parents and teachers know. But then this is what's happened to this poor kid. And I feel for him. You know, he's out there somewhere, probably scared to go. Now, his family is scared. I mean, they're threatening and intimidating families.
That's now criminal.
Well, it is criminal. And I hope it does get followed up. but
turning someone's gas off and graffitiing their house.
I know.
Like, come on. That's
next level.
Yeah, you're damaging property.
Yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
Mad.
But I thought, you know, this is just a story I heard on the weekend that affected me personally, because it's somebody that I care about that got caught up in this. But 131060, what are some bullying stories that are happening through Melbourne at the moment? Like this sort of, you know, if maybe you're a parent right now and you've sent your kid to school and you know what's going on, and because I often hear things like they get reported to teachers and nothing happens, or in this case, these kids got suspended. But where, I was even wondering, and if you're the parent of a bully, 131060, and because I'd love to know what happens in that house. So when your child has been suspended and they come home and you've heard that they've been terrorising or bullying another child, what are the, is there a sense of helplessness? Can you not do anything about it?
Yeah.
Like that's something we never hear. We never hear from the parents of bullies.
Because you also want to believe that your kid could do no wrong. So there might be some denial in there for some parents.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And you just never know the situation. Like maybe the kid's just a bit of a wronging. You know, you're trying to do everything. You're trying to be a supportive parent, and this kid's just inside of him wanting to lash out.
That's
And most of the time, I've watched a bit of stuff on this, the bullying stuff. It's something's going on at home. So the kid's an actually good kid, but his parents are going through a divorce or they've argued. So the kid takes it out on other kids at school. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, like no, I do.
His reaction and the way to deal with what's going on at home, because he can't express or she can't express at home because there's so much tension and anger at home, they think, okay, well, I'll go to school and I'll take it out on there. And you feel for those kids and they need help because they're not getting it from their parents because they're in that situation. They actually need help. And I think most teachers this day and age, especially in the school my kids go to and friends go to different schools, they're equipped with this and they see it.
Because really?
you can read the kid. Like, I'll come into the studio with you guys, and you're not kids, but I'll know if something's going on in your personal life because you're different. And you always go, how are you going? Are you all right? But I don't think that happens enough at school.
Mm.
It's like that old, that thing that goes on, are you okay? You know, they do the are you okay days.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to always say, are you okay? Because sometimes people go, well, I'm not. I'm glad you asked, and you need to express.
Well, you'd love to sit down with these kids. Like these kids that have gone and graffitied my friend's house and turned off her gas and done all this horrible stuff. I'd love to sit them down and go, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So you want to make somebody's life a living hell.
Be a lot
Talk
more,
me through that.
Yeah, be a lot more to it.
Just say that. You're 15, mate.
Yeah. Like, so that person can't sleep at night because you're making their life hell.
Mm.
What? How do you feel about yourself now?
Let's come back.
Yeah.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I was just telling a scary story about a friend of mine on the weekend, had her house vandalised with really threatening messages, swearing and a horrible way to wake up to having your house graffitied and her gas turned off. And they've done some research, the police have got involved, and they think it's some kids that were suspended from a high school because they'd been bullying somebody and this was their retribution. So the kid, they're already bullying. So making his life hell at high school, they then
took it to the next level.
Oh, you know what? You dobbed on us. So now we're going to graffiti your house and threaten you and break into your house and turn your gas off. And they just got the wrong house.
Yeah.
It's hard. And I find it very difficult to get into the brain of somebody that wants to hurt somebody that badly. And not just hurt somebody, bully them. They're already, you know, I'm going to say you've already got it over them because you're bullying them, but then you want to keep kicking the boot in and all for nothing. Like what for? What, at the end of the day, what's the point? It's so pointless. Darren from Brunswick's on the line now. Darren, you've got a story because I think it's important to share these stories. This is our town, Melbourne, and this is happening in our schools to our kids.
Yep.
And I think we should draw attention to these stories. Darren, what have you got to share?
Our daughter last year, at the age of 7, decided to shave her hair off for cancer patients to make wigs and raise money. She raised about $3,500.
Wow.
And after that, at school, she got bullied for having short hair. She came home, no confidence. Oh. And, yeah, it was really hard.
Wow. Darren, for her to do that, and at 7, to do something so brave, to shave your head for a charity and raise all that money, and then to be persecuted to the point where the poor little thing has no confidence today is horrible. Yeah. And where are those kids' parents, Darren? That's what kills me.
It's disgusting. And the school was actually spoke to the students prior, so everyone knew what was going on to support her. And, yeah. That was it. The school kind of backed down, done nothing.
Do you know what, Darren, might have gone on there? And, Fev, I'm just guessing. You know, in these situations, so your daughter, a beautiful, amazing thing to do, and she probably got a lot of attention through that. And then I'm just reading between the lines. Sometimes other kids don't like it when somebody's, you know, been, I guess, heralded as a hero. Yeah. Like, oh, well, she's so great. So then it's the take her down. Yeah. Sort of that tall poppy syndrome that happens at a lower level.
Do you remember, Byron, we did that shave for...
At Fed Square.
Fed Square.
Big event.
And I shaved that girl. She was about 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And she raised about $5,000, I think. And we shaved her head. And she was a beautiful little thing. And she had the beautiful... She never had a haircut. She had amazing hair and she shaved it off and she was so proud, wasn't she?
That's unbelievable that you
Darren,
get bullied for that.
Has your daughter gotten some of her confidence back? Have you worked through it with her?
She's slowly getting it back now because we're back in the fundraising and trying to collect prizes to raffle off at the event in about a month's time. And she's getting a little bit of confidence, but she still thinks that her hair's still that shortness and she thinks people sometimes think she's a boy.
Oh.
So she's only just starting to put dresses back on. She stopped wearing dresses and everything.
Oh, Darren, it must be hard. See, that my heart breaks for you as a parent to think that. And, you know, the only thing you think is there's a lot lesson she's learning far too young in life, because we all know that people will at some stage.
Is she going to shave her head again, Darren?
I don't think she will. Her mother actually supported her and shaved her hair off as well. And to that degree, they done it together. So I was lucky that, you know, Rachel jumped in and helped the situation.
Yeah.
But it's still hard. She's kind of, I don't think our daughter will actually do it again.
Well, do you know what, Darren, we can imagine you and your wife are doing a wonderful job with her, and you give her a big shout out from us and tell her that we think she's fabulous.
And what was the charity for?
We're a part of Relay for Life.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We have a team with the Cancel Council and we run around and do that. Like, I'm on the committee for it and help out. And she's probably seen how we do charitable stuff, so she wanted to try and do something herself.
And she should continue to do that, Darren.
Well, how about I'll come down for your Relay
Reflip.
For Life.
Yeah.
Yep.
And your daughter can shave my hair. For your charity.
What do you reckon?
Cool?
That'd be amazing. That'd get heaps of attention.
Yeah. Well, let's do it.
Oh, that's great, Fer.
That'd be great.
That's a great idea.
And she can shave my hair in front of all those bullies.
All right.
Because your hair, that's a huge sacrifice. Your hair's never looked better.
I've never looked so good. When is it, a month?
Yeah, it's on the, I think it's around about the 24th of September.
What a sacrifice. I saw you on game day yesterday, mate. Their ratings will plummet.
Looks so good.
And then she can shave my hair and she can shave it all off.
Brilliant work. Hold the line, Darren. We'll organise that.
Thank you for sharing that, Darren.
Great result.
Jess in Northcote. Hi, Jess.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Jess. Dealing with that horrible topic of bullying, which seemingly doesn't go anywhere, and even despite all the education that we're putting through the schools. What's your experience with it?
I've got a 12-year-old daughter who's been on the end of bullying for 2 years at her school. So it started as verbal, emotional exclusion, name-calling, all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
And it has escalated to physical punching, pushing, all that sort of stuff. So I've been involved with the school right from 2 years ago and the education department, and I do believe that because the school has not done anything to rectify it or, I guess, hand out consequences to the bully, that's why it's escalated.
Jeez.
Now, we've been to the police.
Yeah.
We have also been bullied by her parents.
Oh.
So, you know, you hear all these things that it's learned behaviour, 100% can be. And there are anti-bullying policies in schools through the education department.
Yeah.
You go nowhere. Let me
so
tell you.
So just talk me through this because you're firing me up here. The idea that my daughter could come home and say, "Mum, I've been physically assaulted at school," and that the school does nothing.
Denied it. Didn't
please
happen.
So they're denied. Okay, so then what do the police say?
So we went to the police after a 25-day investigation by the education department into the school. I've got proof from kids and parents that witnessed it actually happening. So we then felt, well, we need to go down the line of this family need to know that we're not taking this anymore. So the police told us that because she's a minor, if we go all the way through court, it'll be thrown out. Nothing can be done.
Oh.
They did, however, go and see the family and just sort of put the wind up them and say, you know what, enough's enough. But that's also done nothing.
Oh, Jez, this is where we end up, me asking you this question, and the onus is on you guys. If you considered maybe moving schools, is that an option, a possibility?
Yeah, you know what, we have gone down. Oh, we're in a small country school, so we can't even separate them in classrooms.
Gosh.
So she's 6 months out of finishing primary school. She came in through grade four. We've been there the whole time. We have fought. And I'm at the point where I feel like we need to move her. But then at the same time, it's like, well, they win.
Oh, I know. I agree with you. But and I think the system's letting you down. The system's letting you and your family down, your daughter down. These are her formative years, which have been, she's been terrorised and traumatised like this. And she has to have a fresh start. You have to get her out of that school at the end of the year. And you might, I don't know what your options are for secondary
school,
but will she be in a different school to that?
No.
She's got to get away.
At some point, I mean, we don't do this here because it's inappropriate and we can't. But at some point, you just need to name and shame these schools.
I know.
And if someone does leave, that needs to be named as to why I had to take my kids out of this school because they did nothing, and it needs to become public. It won't today, but these schools should be named and shamed.
And it's very hard for teachers too if they're not aligned with the parents of the bullies, because you have to set up a system to be like, this is wrong. But if the parents aren't helping out with the teachers, there's no lessons learned. They just continue their actions because teachers can only do so much.
Mm.
There's parents, teachers, it's the combo. But anyway, Fief,
you cannot send your child to school thinking that they're going to be assaulted.
It's unbelievable. Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron on the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Guys, I want to talk about kissing.
Oh!
Now, this is an interesting one.
You're in a relationship. We've told you about that. We are all spoken for.
I know. We're all spoken for in the studio, but I had a friend ask me a question on the weekend and I couldn't answer her and it frustrated me. And I actually said to her...
Her?
Yeah.
What were you guys doing?
No, we weren't kissing.
Misread it.
But I said to her, let me, on your behalf, ask Melbourne. I want to find out if anybody has an answer to this.
So this personal question that was asked in confidence.
Very personal question.
Do you still have mates when you just air all their dirty laundry on the radio?
I'm disguising her very heavily. Anyway, she's met a guy and they connected, had coffee. And that went really well. So a week ago.
Coffee breath.
Yeah. Just an afternoon coffee. I like the way it started slowly.
Always a trial when you have a date at a coffee. Like it's just, I know that's like a half an hour, quick date in, out.
So yeah. Safe environment.
You're dipping your toe into the pool.
Then he asked her out for dinner and they've gone out for dinner. So he's quite keen, pushing along and asked her out for dinner. They had dinner. Everything went well. At the end of the night, there was that moment when the kiss was about to happen. Ooh. Now she admits they've gone into kiss and it's not worked. For whatever reason, and they're both grown adults, it's sort of been a bit of a... And then she's pulled back.
What a sound effect.
Is that a technical term?
It was a little bit...
It was a bit like...
Oh, never make that sound ever again. Anyway, we've banned that sound.
Should never dump.
Now, she sort of on pulled and off back it. Because it was a bit, that's a bit much. Anyway, it didn't work. And then they've gone back in and tried again.
They've gone back for
it? Yeah, yeah. And she said, but they haven't spoken about how awkward it was, but she just said it was not good.
Mm.
And then they sort of said goodbye and they left for the night. Now, she likes him, though. So she's wondering, oh, gosh, is he not going, is he, in his mind, is he thinking that kiss was not good? So that's it. Why I'm bringing this up is, for me, I know that when I have the first kiss, I often do know. I sort of go, yes. I can not necessarily be that attracted to a person. And then I know when I've kissed them, I've gone, oh, hello, that's great.
Because of an energy, because of a sort of
maybe
chemistry,
physiology, whatever it is, a good kiss, I believe, is good. But I guess I'm...
Yep.
Yep.
Just put that on a tea towel.
I'm asking on behalf of my friend because I really want, she likes this guy and I would like it to work out. Can anyone listening, does it get better? Have they had really bad first kiss and then they've kept seeing that person and now they're engaged, married, it works out? Or is it just no, not good? And guys, particularly, guys.
You could train someone. You can get them better.
100%. I'm really good at it.
Oh, man. Mate, geez. Please.
See, Byron, I could teach you.
Oh, no,
you'd be a real
stop
bad,
talking.
I reckon.
Stop talking.
Well, you'd be real bad.
Guys, you've naked toboggan together. It's the next reasonable step.
It was a good energy.
Why doesn't Fev just know?
No, but what ask you, Fev, as a guy, because she's worried that he'll go, that was a really bad kiss, and never call her again. Would if you liked a girl, because they got along, 3 hours of talking over dinner, it seemingly went really well.
Yeah, well, you can fix it.
Okay, it's not a deal breaker.
But is she a good kisser?
Yeah, she's fine. She's in relationships.
She's fine, is she? She's good.
But those relationships
didn't work out, did they?
Well, I know
they were long.
I know with Alex, so we met, and she's like, he's pretty hot, and I was like, whoa, she's amazing.
All right,
and then we pashed, and it was like she's got the best lips, and I was just like, this works.
Jeez.
Okay. Right,
so I tell you what.
So I've done
the girls up listening.
You're the same.
I'm the same. I find that first kiss either gets me or doesn't. But see, I hope that's just me. I hope the norm for my friend is you can work through bad kisses and the bad first kiss and get somewhere.
I think Fev thinks we're all in high school. It's not about kissing technique. It's just whether there's an energy and a chemistry between two people.
It's technique.
Oh,
yes.
Come on.
Mate, you've got to
we're not 12, mate. They're two adults.
No, you've got to go in and you've got to
know.
You've got to go and you've got to do the same thing at the same time.
Oh, God.
Where you'd be just this would be you.
You've turned this into a high school. Let's just
that's okay, true. So 13, 10, 16.
Byron would be playing replays of Hit Are You in the background and getting himself going.
13, 10, 60 is a bad first kiss a deal breaker? Or is there hope for my friend? Can we turn this around?
Do you pass Gabs with your beats on?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Fif, over to you. This is ridiculous. Keep Fev away from this topic.
We've been talking off air about kissing a lot and techniques, and it's I'm learning a lot about you three.
Hang on a second. Just to paint a picture for the audience, Boxy. As per usual, Byron and Fev have just been at each other like, no, it's not about technique. It is about technique, mate.
It is technique.
Fif, restore order.
Okay,
now.
So here's the thing. My girlfriend had a date, and the kiss at the end of the night, she said was so bad, and she was like embarrassed about it because it was awkward and weird, and she's worried it's a deal breaker and maybe they won't see each other again. And I'm hoping that people don't judge people on a first kiss, and maybe you can work through awkward kissing and just finding each other's rhythm, I hope. Or is the first kiss tell everything?
Finding each other's rhythm, you're saying that. Okay, and one, and two, and got it. Three, four,
and bang. I was just trying to explain to Byron off air.
Oh, thanks, Fev. Yeah, appreciate it.
It's like a golf swing. You're either got it or you don't. When you hit a really good ball, you just stick to it. You stick to the same routine. You'd be slicing it.
Golf is an individual sport. You know there's someone else kissing you, right?
No, but
it's not all about...
You've got a club and a ball, and you've got to use that.
Terrible analogy.
What do you reckon, Byron, be a crappy putt-putt? Is that what you're saying?
He'd be slicing it everywhere.
I won't even tell you about the chemistry between Gabby and I in our first kiss. I won't even bore you with the details, Fev. Unbelievable.
Bit of vomit came up.
Darcy in Mill Park. Hi, Darcy.
Hi, Fifi.
Darcy, now, what do you think? Can you work through a bad first kiss or is it not going to happen?
I've been in a relationship before very similar and I decided to stick around and see what would happen because I don't think you should let a kiss put you off someone. And then it turned out that when we got talking and things, he had been in a bad relationship and hadn't had, like, turned off girls and didn't want to go out on dates and things and hadn't been for a while. And things got better, and now we're together.
He was out of practice.
He was.
There we go.
That's actually a really good point. If they're a good passer, you're like, how often have you been doing this?
Exactly.
That raises interesting questions.
That's very true. Okay, that's good. Darcy's moved on. We've got Carol from Ferntree Gully, though. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Carol, can you help my... I really want this to work out for my friend. Can you work through a bad first kiss?
I don't think so. I really think that first kiss is essential. It has to be a zinger. You have to have sparks flying, and that's an indication of the chemistry between you as well.
Correct.
That's exactly right, Carol. Hey, Carol, do you reckon Byron would be a good kisser?
I really don't know.
Carol can't comment on that. And why would
poor
she?
Carol.
This is, that's not the topic.
Inappropriate.
Just have a look at the billboard and have a look at the way he's looking at me and see.
Well, that's where the photo was placed. That's not how, that's not how I feel about you.
And
I
he has a
you.
Bulletproof diet. Imagine his breath.
It's just coffee with a bit of butter.
A lot of butter. A lot of butter. Right. Jackie in Greensboro. Hi, Jackie.
Hello,
Tessie. Hi, Fifi. How are you going?
You're good, Jackie. Have you ever worked through a bad first kiss and made it better?
Yes, I would tell your friend to hang on. I was like you, Fifi, and I put a lot of weight on the first kiss. But yeah. My now husband, our first kiss, he got me on the chin. And I moonwalked away from that, but he redeemed himself later on.
Oh, that's good. So if you really like somebody, of course you can work on that area.
How do you miss the mouth, though? I mean, that's a fairly basic.
I don't know. I think he was pooping his pants.
Oh, he was a little bit nervy.
There was a lot going on.
Okay, there we go. There you go,
Fee. That doesn't help either, guys. Nah.
Fev really made your topic sing then.
Well, we did. You just get upset because everyone thinks you're not a good kisser.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
There's a council in Melbourne, Darabin City Council. They are forcing preschools and libraries to vet all books and toys to ensure play spaces are gender equitable and don't stereotype boys and girls. So this is obviously an initiative from the Darabin Council. They've created this Creating Gender Equality in the Early Years Guide. I'm telling you what, I've got a four-year-old and I have got a beautiful little girl that I want to do whatever she wants to do in life. She wants to be an engineer, be an engineer. Want to be a fashion designer, be a fashion designer. Be a builder, be a builder, whatever you want. For me, it's a really difficult landscape to navigate as a parent because all I can do is do that. Sweetheart, I'm right behind you. I'm backing you in. But I think this, and I'm not in favour of this if I'm not making that clear. I'm not in favour of this because the minute you start telling children what they should play, that you can't read that book because in that book it's got a princess. And we can't have you thinking that a Prince Charming's going to save you.
Right, tell me.
You're actually becoming a dictatorship. Like there are toys, there are books. You can't start banning books. There should never be bans on books. Like books are books. There's history attached to books. We are now bringing our children up in a community, in a society where we are obviously, look at us, campaigning for equality in every which way we can. But now going to the lengths of banning books and toys.
Could they read, say, Sleeping Beauty at that particular school? Or would that be inappropriate?
It's like Fireman Sam. They're not going to let him read it because they're not going to let the kids read it because Sam is a boy.
He's a man.
And he's a firefighter. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, well, they haven't used that example, but you're spot on.
Women can be firefighters as well. Well, we know that. It's a book for kids.
And tools, like they're saying, they're going to take certain toys out of a playground because, you know, they might be associated with one gender, like tools might be. But girls can pick up the tools. I was at Trixie's kinder the other day and it was I saw great interplay with both sexes. Both the boys were baking cakes and putting them in the little fake microwave out the back and the girls were running around with the Tonka trucks. Just, you know what? They're just toys and books. And let's kids just have fun.
Yeah, just let them all whop in there. I mean, the thing that Wonder Woman was a good example of, like, yeah, it's a superhero. She's a woman, obviously. And then they said the ramifications of that are kids then, like, and boys dressing up like Wonder Woman just going, oh, this is what I want. It's like, that happens.
Boys
Captain America
tutus.
Happens. They all happen. Just throw them all in there. Mix it all up.
That's it. But let's not get to a place or a stage. And look, this is fine for, fortunately for me, I don't live within this council, so this won't happen to my child or my library. But
I think it's mine.
Sorry, Thorno.
The minute I see vetting books and toys, no vetting. Come on. They're books and toys. Let kids be kids, for goodness sake.
And especially tools. Like, you know, if Freddie can build our pergola for cheap, I'm so happy.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Carlton coach Brendan Bolden, we reckon he's come up with this term. Sometimes you are the first to use a term or do a thing. Mm. Brendan Bolden, this is definitely his term. Listen to the end of this.
But I think what today does, it just gives, you know, the 87 premiership team that were here, our members, our club, our players, just a little bit of emotional nourishment.
A bit of what?
Emotional nourishment.
That's what he said, emotional nourishment. But then there was a suggestion, Fief, that Bob Murphy might have said emotional nourishment.
Well, there was. And then we've gone to the umpire, the ref, and it wasn't exactly those words.
I'd like to thank some of my heroes. I've been inspired by a whole range of people, many of them in the room, but but I'll just reel off a few. And one of them being the Richmond Tigers team of 1995 was a real inspiration to a 13-year-old kid from Warragul. Tim Rogers, Tex Perkins and Paul Kelly for Spiritual Sustenance.
Spiritual Sustenance is a great indie band.
So he got
Spiritual Sustenance,
which is not
emotional nourishment.
Two very different ones. All
very
right?
much so.
13, 10, 60. What did you invent? There are some claims here that are going to blow your mind. I mean, Fev said he invented the photo bomb. That was
I did.
The first.
I'm trying to find the picture, and I invented that.
I don't think it's on your camera, mate. It's on film.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Some wild claims are about to be made here, Fifi.
There are. Fev is still scrolling madly through his phone. He's trying to, he believes he created the first, what was it? Not
Photobomb.
Photobomb.
I did.
And there's a photo of it. He's going to find it for us. But while he's doing that, Tegan from Wantirna South. Hi, Tegan.
Hi.
Tegan, what do you think you invented?
Well, it's actually my boyfriend, and he thought that his dad invented the saying, wakey, wakey, hands off, snakey. and then he was running late one day, and I said it to him, and then he was, like, really confused, and he was like, how have you heard that before? And he was like, and then I had to tell him that it's actually a saying, and he was like, no, my dad made that up when I was little.
Oh, that's so cute.
And I had to break his poor heart.
Are we all following what that means? Why did your dad say that up?
It's not one you'd probably want to claim, I don't know. But anyway, thanks, Tegan.
Michael in Brighton. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good. Michael, what did you come up with?
Yeah, it wasn't me. It was my cousin who is dead set, and I don't believe him for a second, but he said that he created LOL.
Talk us through it, Michael. Does he have the year?
Oh, man, he's got,
what happened?
Look, he says it was in the mid to late 90s is when he saw a funny picture on the internet and he wanted to express how he felt in as few letters as possible.
Yeah.
And so then he just came up with LOL, just so he could tell people that he was laughing out loud.
I mean, he's sort of got me a bit. I mean, why couldn't that have been your cousin, maybe?
I don't know enough about the history of LOL to dispute that.
Yeah, we can't.
Yeah.
But we don't want to get bogged down in detail yet.
If only we can find Mr. YOLO. There's another guy that just thought that up.
Anne-Marie in Pakenham. Hi, Anne-Marie.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good. What did you come up with, Anne-Marie?
Well, I have to take credit for it, but it's a family thing. My Uncle Michael, selfie. We did selfies.
We were doing selfies way back.
What year?
With an actual camera?
Yeah, in an actual camera with film. So we're talking way back on my 21st, so you know, 24 years ago at least. And I've got proof.
Oh, okay.
You've got the photos.
All right. Photo.
Well, once we find Fev's first ever photo bomb, we can put them up on our Instagram, Fifi Dave Fev
Byron. That doesn't strike me as unusual. Somebody at some stage would have picked up a camera and reversed it.
Mm.
Mind you, there's probably one out there with sepia tone photos, but it's just that you would have had to hold the bomb for about 15 seconds while they've still got the lens open.
Anne-Marie, hold the line, Anne-Marie.
Thank you.
So we'll arrange to get that sent to us.
Mark in Greenvale. Hi, Mark.
Oh, g'day.
G'day, guys.
I am certain that I came up with a phrase 25 years ago. I got to go to the dentist at 2:30.
Oh!
2:30.
2:30. That's it. Mine.
It's yours. Well, you know, Mark, there's no room for negotiation here.
What a tie.
I believe it.
If you're going to own it, and you've done that.
Well done. Mark did that, 2:30.
25 years ago. Caroline in Frankston. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, guys. How are we?
Yeah, good. What did you come up
with? Yeah, good. Finishing off a sentence with but. So I'd go, you know, that was a good restaurant but.
Isn't that, that's a real Perth thing, I've noticed. People from Perth do that.
Do they?
And Dave, you know.
Oh, she's shattered. She thought she did that, started that.
I mean,
that.
The grammatical error in that is I can't even cope.
Are you emotionally depleted after that?
It all started with the term that Brendan Bolton has made up, the Carlton coach.
Emotional nourishment.
What the hell is emotional nourishment? But anyway, that was fun. Are you still looking for it, Fev? The picture of your first ever photo bomb?
No, I'm just admiring my work on Insta over the years.
He's looking at his own feed.
Been killing it?
Some of these photos.
He did show me a photo. You were on in that photo, wherever that was.
We'll eventually find that picture and we'll put it up at Fifi Dave Fev Byron. The first ever photo bomb in human history was taken by Brendan Favola in 1996.
Yep, or 95. Okay. And I photobombed Mickey Martin with my Mighty Ducks hat on.
There we go.
That's not right, mate. You're going through your own Instagram account and putting eggplants on your pages.
Keys is next with your old school 909.
Beep, beep, beep.